Hello, everyone, and welcome to He Hears Even the Cricket in the Corner. I'm Cricket Douglas, along with Samuel Emmanuel. Good afternoon, Sam.
Good afternoon, Miss Cricket.
And how are you today?
I'm doing good. Feeling real good. Having a good week so far. It's Tuesday when we're recording this, and it's felt like a good week, so I'm excited for the rest of the week. Learning lots of things this week, and that's always enjoyable for me, so... Speaking of learning, what you got for us today?
So today I thought about restoration. And of course, you know, I love acronyms.
Yeah.
And my acronym for today is RISE.
Yes.
Restoration is a spiritual execution. And when you think about restoration, Sam, what do you think about?
Something being made new again, or either something being brought back, but to a greater state.
Something being brought back to a greater state. I think about, for myself, that word rest. It's just relying on something greater than you. You know, as you lie in the bed, you're at rest, and you're dependent on that bed to hold you up and to give you a good night's sleep. And the reason why I said that, because your spirit has to be in a position of quietness, and all the weight that you carry just has to rest in something. And I think about us resting in God and allowing Him to do what He needs to do, being a clay on a potter's wheel, and letting Him take control, getting all of the fragments out of our lives.
Yeah, that's good. Thing of getting all the fragments out of our lives, and we know that we have a lot of them. And I know the past many episodes, and even beyond that, all throughout our life, we recognize that we are sinners. We know where we're at in that, and because of that, He has given us the option to be rescued from that, and we have to choose that option. And within that, within choosing that option, we need to strive to do what He wants, because that's how He forms us into the person He intends us to be as a believer.
And listening to you say that, I think about there's an exchange that has to take place. Our mindset truly has to be lined up with the restoration as it takes place, because God can't give us anything mentally, spiritually, if we're not mentally able to handle it. The story of the Israelites being in exile, the trip that they took, wandering, as it says, for 40 years. And He did take care of them. But in that wilderness experience that they had, things had to fall off, Sam. They had to get rid of their way of thinking. They even had a special diet in the wilderness. They wanted meat, but God fed them manna for a specific reason. As we want things, we want to take old things into our new life. But God wants us to exchange that beauty for ashes. And oftentimes, that renewal has to take place in a spiritual aspect. You know, if you close your eyes and just think of some of the things that took place in your life, and you knew it was God that restored you. You know, we can manifest things on our own. I can say I want a car, so it's things that I have to put in place with my budget. And after I get my money saved, I go look at the car. But what about when you got an old car, and that car is constantly putting you down, and things start to happen, and all of a sudden God just blesses you with it. Mm. He gives you better and greater than you could ever ask or think about. Mm. And restoring you to be grateful. Mm. I think sometimes, even as a parent, when we just give and give our children, they don't appreciate it. Mm. But when God does the restoring in our lives, you just look back on it and you can really feel it. And I think so much in our lives daily, restoration has to take place, because he can't move you from one place to another. Sam, I think about the Israelites mumbling and grumbling and taking that long trip and always wanting, just like we do, being selfish, wanting what we want and when we want it, when God trying to tell us to release it because I got something greater for you. And it always takes place in the mind. How do you see things? I got a friend in Virginia. She was adopted and she does restoration for her furniture. And she used the analogy of finding a piece of furniture on the road and bringing it back and even better to where it was. But there's a process of being restored. You know, the wiping down, the cleaning first. God has to do a cleansing within us. And then he takes that sandpaper. He just smooth out them rough edges, and sometimes you have to go deep. Mm. You know, it's different grades of sandpaper, and he got to switch up on us because it's hard sometimes to let go of things.
Yeah.
And he knows that.
Mm. Yep. And I'm thinking about when you speak about sandpaper, you know, sometimes you sand something and you're doing it a little bit delicate, and sometimes you really got to push in there, you know, really putting down the pressure on it. But you know what the end goal is that you're going to gain there. You know that's for the betterment of the, for your example, the furniture. And so I totally can see that, and how God specializes in restoration on us, his people who have sought that. We want that, to strive for that perfection that he has and move towards that. And he knows that he's got to put us through it sometimes, whether it's lightly, fragilely sanding us through an experience that he has us go through, or if it's something deeper that I know we've talked about some experiences in our lives in some previous episodes that are a little bit deeper, or a lot of it deeper actually. But in those times, we know that we're going to come out on the other side of it, and he's certainly going to be there to pull us through it and bring us through that time. And one scripture in particular that I have here is Joel 2:25. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. So ultimately, despite in the moment you thinking that this is really some hardship that I'm going through, and even we get to the point sometimes of questioning why God's putting us through this, or we may even just increase like seeking strength from him and guidance in that time, which is what we should do. We know that he doesn't make any mistakes, and there's no loss in what he's doing. He's not failing us. He's not putting us through something beyond what he knows that we can handle through his strength, and that it's part of the process of the restoration for him to redeem us.
And I look at the letter I in the word rise, and I is he that does everything. He is our redeemer. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is our healer. He is the I. And I was looking at Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord, because of the Lord, great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. That I is a promise.
Yes,
I will wake you up. I will feed you. I will direct you. I will heal you.
And even I am.
I am who I say I am. He gives us a promise every day. And that's what I love about God. The scripture, some put their trust in horses and chariots. But who do we ride on? Mm. Who can we depend on? It's the I and not me.
Mm. It's good. Well, that's really good. And it's just recognizing that He, who is the I, is going to be present through all of this. And that His restoration is available to us every day. And even thinking, I know you had mentioned with Easter coming up, that's a great reminder of a great rise where he had to go through a lot in that time, in the 3 days. And when He rose again and had that rise from that to have the restoration, fulfillment of God's promise, and to give us the gift of salvation, and through His promise, having His only Son be the perfect sacrifice to give us the option to bridge that gap and get back to Him as He intended.
And for the SN rise, spiritual, God does something that we can't do. When you think about rise, getting up, laying everything down that no longer, laying everything down that keeps you weighed down, and getting up, feeling that newness within you, being renewed in your spirit each morning. It should be something at night that takes place within us. Something should be dying. The way we thought about something the day before, as we get up and we go to God in the morning, a newness should take place. Even the way we pray, it should be new every morning, because our mindsets have changed. And it is a spiritual thing that takes place, because the power behind it that lifts us up, something that you were holding on to and you couldn't put it down, but God, almighty and all powerful, just taking it. And He's not, as I said previously last week, God is not going to knock us over with anything. Just the gentleness of Him, just telling us to let it go. Just give it to me and let it go. And we totally trying to hold on to it, and it serves no purpose in our lives anymore. It's hard to unlearn what we've been taught for so many years. Going back to generational can be curses sometimes, because if we take on a mindset, I think about my mom's generation, I can't do what she did because I'm not built like that. And when I said built like that, the sustainment, the strength that they carried to take them through that era, and things that we go through now, if we look back, there's no way that I could have done what my mom did. I think about even giving birth, with technology and the newness of medication and everything, I couldn't have did what she did because it wasn't my time. And when I gave birth, for the women that come behind me, it's different, because every generation, it gets better for us. But we got to remember to take the wickedness out of that and put the spiritual in, and we'll get a greater perception of what God is really talking to us about. It's just Him that, as we said before, that I. It's Him that does everything for us, and we somehow think it's us, and when we get in the way, That's our pride. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't deal with a haughty spirit, because it's like, I don't need you for anything, mm-hmm. but I need him for everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Even sitting here talking yeah. to you, I need him. Even every breath that I take, I need him to get through this, because mm-hmm. it's just not sitting down just talking. Mm-hmm. It's spiritual.
Yeah.
It's my inner me mm-hmm. that's crying out. It's my inner me that's speaking. Mm-hmm. It's my enemy that wants to be better.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because I think the path that we always try to take as humans, and especially when you go through hardship or this restoration process, is we have automatically, and I know we've all heard it before, a fight or flight. That's a solution. We're trying to find a solution for the situation we're placed in. So naturally, like with everything else, whether it is physically or it is emotionally or anything else, it's like we always are like, okay, well, what am I going to do? And you try to make a choice. But then when it comes to spiritually, and for physical and emotional and all those other things, of course, God has an effect there as well. But when it's spiritual and we're trying, because there's this longing in us, because it's instilled in us by him, it is a missing piece in us because of the fall, because we were intended to be with him, to be whole. And so when the fall came in place, that was removed from us. However, the option was reintroduced to us to be made whole again with him. And so we just try to find what is going to fit in that piece, what is going to appease that spiritual longing. And many, many people use many different things to try. But what you always will find is you will not find full spiritual renewal and restoration. Whereas when you have this, when you have Christ in it, when you have God here, he is the missing piece, and you will find fulfillment there. And I know often people will think that just because you found a missing piece, that just everything is going to fall into place. And in their mind, that may mean that they have an easy life. That's not what he promises us. He actually fully discloses that it's going to be hard. And as we're speaking here about the restoration, we're to look at it with appreciation, that we know that he has a greater purpose for our situation. And ultimately, a spiritual renewal will be part of this experience.
And the execution takes place when we allow him to do it. When we exit out of our old self and let him come in and enter. He does a good house cleaning, the inner side of us, that oldness that he puts away. Reminds me of having surgery. It's kind of a weird feeling when you have a surgical procedure done, knowing all along that this thing inside of you was like a thorn in your side. And when he comes in and takes it out and does the healing, you kind of think of it. It's like a ghost thing within you, a memory, but it's vague. You knew it was there, but he takes it away and he makes it better, because that pain is gone. And you don't have to worry about just that thing resting on you. And if we would just exit out and let God do the execution. You know, I think about execution as like killing that thing off. You know, like really, he kills it.
Yep.
He gets rid of it. And each day, Sam, it's like truly, we need to be lined up. And I'm just being raw. We need to be lined up and killed every day. We need to let that old man just die out of us, because being honest with yourself, and you got things in you that does need to be put to rest. When I say that, RIP, rest in peace,
yep.
It needs to be put away.
And the reason why is because the two things can't be in one place. Mm-mm. The old sinful nature cannot be in a space occupied with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. And that is why we have to allow that to die for that new life to begin, because it just literally is impossible. It will not. It simply will not be entertained, occupied, present in the same place. It won't. And in Romans 6:6, it says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with." So because of that option and that sacrifice that was made, we can choose it. But with that, we have to let the sin be done away with. And his restoration isn't passive. It requires to surrender and die to self daily. It's not something that you're like, okay, well, Lord, I signed up for it. Take care of the rest. Like, it is an active choice to make sure that we're not going back to sin. That's the piece where we talk about repentance. Turn away from. You cannot. There's no such thing. And I don't have the verse specifically, but it blatantly says there is no lukewarm. You're in or you're out. You're not on the fence.
And when you said both can't reside in it, mm-hmm. reminded me of Cain and Abel, how they wrestle, mm-hmm. Even in the womb. Mm-hmm. And the bomb gave birth, and even out of the womb, they wrestled with each other. You could see the good and the bad. And I really think God allows us with the souls that's in the Bible to see, even in the womb, we wrestle with good and evil, and one will control the other if you don't allow God to take precedence in your life.
So that is something that we have to do. We have to recognize that they can't both occupy the same place, and that we will be experiencing that inner quarrel. We'll be feeling that. And so, again, going back to where we were talking about Easter coming up, that's a good reminder. And of course, any time in the year we can think about it. But it's a good reminder of the choice that we do have, the choice that we all have of salvation, and to sit back and admire the great sacrifice that it was for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He took our place, was executed because of sin, and his death on the cross happened so that he would rise again and he would make a way for our restoration spiritually, emotionally, and eternally. So a challenge that I have for not only ourselves but for our listeners as well is, where in our life do we need to have restoration? We need to pinpoint things in our life. That's part of that repentance, is identifying it. If you're just going through life blindly and you're not looking for it, you're not seeking it out, then you can't identify and then you can't repent from it. And that restoration process won't take place. We also have to ask ourselves, are we willing to let God execute the old patterns to make room for his new life in us?
We need that procedure daily, and it starts with our mind. God is a God of restoration, and he is able to keep us each and every day, but we got to be willing to go in the operating room and let him do what he needs to do to restore us back to wholeness. But before you pray us out, Sam, if she's listening to this podcast, I would like to shout out Elder Paula Neal. I thought about you when I thought about the word restoration, and hopefully one day you can join Sam and I and tell everyone about how you were restored back to peace.
We'll be looking forward to that. So let me go ahead and pray us out. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all you do, for watching over us, taking care of us, and blessing us. Thank you for our time again this week, where we get to come together and get to look at what's been laid on Miss Cricket's heart, and just even with Easter coming up, Lord, for us to take a second and to really recognize how amazing it was, God, for you sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And I pray that we feel the weight of that and truly know how great of a sacrifice that was, Lord. So enabling us to rise up, Lord, and to have this restoration that we speak of here today. And I pray that everyone who's listening seeks that as well. And wherever we can help, whether it's through this conversation here or even outside of this, Lord, that we can be tools that you use to assist others through their restoration and for others to assist us too. And I just pray that's an active strive for us, Lord. Thank you again for our time together today. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Miss Cricket.